So I'm Shane Lucas, I'm Managing Director of AVN. We help accountants improve their own practice internally, but also help them to deliver powerful business advisory to their clients, making what they do much more enjoyable and purposeful for them. From a personal point of view, my purpose is enabling people's ability to make better lifestyle choices, and that's on three levels. One is I raise charity sponsorship. Sorry, I do sponsorship type of events to raise money for charities that help people recover from brain injury, because the brain's really responsible for us making choice, and that can inhibit that. I do what I can beyond our local community to help people around the world have better lifestyle choices about their standard of living. And of course, there are so many business owners and accountants, no exception, that feel they have no choice but to keep working an endless amount of hours just to pay the bills or just to please their clients. And there is always a better way. So they're the three things that really inspire me to keep doing what I do. I've written a number of books that really support all of those different areas, whether it's inspiring accountants, whether it's inspiring business owners to help in all of those different areas that I've just mentioned and improve. Okay, so get to the crux. I mentioned earlier, maybe before some of you join me, I've got a lot of content that I want to build into this this session. And so I'm going to be talking at a relatively fast pace. Don't let that stop you asking any questions in either the Q&A box or the chat box. If you're asking questions in the Q&A box, which is actually my preferred place because other people can see the questions that you've asked, just change the drop-down list from all panelists to all panelists and attendees, because that enables other people to see that you've asked that question and therefore maybe they don't need to. This session is being recorded. Lots of people say, can I have access to the recording? Of course you can, but we always monitor this. Very few people ever go and then watch the recording. So you better be in here live and watching it in the flesh. Now, today's session, we're specifically focusing on stuff that we would normally teach people in value. Value is the third step in our seven-stage roadmap that we take accountants through. Clarity is really about getting a vision strategy in place, pricing strategy, marketing strategy in place. Position then is about changing the perception your clients and prospects eyes about how they see you in the marketplace, and therefore they're much more receptive to buying from you if you can change your positioning, buying from you in terms of added value type services and business advisory. In value, this is where we really train you on delivering the added value work, which includes business advisory. I'm not going to go into detail on the other stuff. The other stuff's about scaling and really growing your practice in such a way that it doesn't rely on you doing all of that. So in other words, as your practice grows, the burden on you doesn't grow with it. In fact, that reduces because you're scaling it in an effective manner. Okay, so admin things. I've mentioned the chat box already. Make sure that's all panelists and attendees. Feel free to ask questions. And I've mentioned that it's being recorded. And I don't think there's anything else that I need to put in there. I'll tell you what, just one thing. Just make sure that you can use the chat box. Can you please just go in there and just type your name into it? And if I can see as many names as there are attendees, then I know that that's effective. So, yeah, just put your names in there. Thank you very much. Okay, so I'm seeing names go into there. And you've changed. Some of you haven't changed it to, in fact, most of you haven't changed it to all panelists and attendees. So I'm seeing lots of names in there that are just to the panelists. So if you can change that going forward, that would be great. But thank you. Thank you, Joanne. Lots of names going in there. Excellent. Right. Okay. Brilliant. Well, I'll tell you what, there are lots coming in there and we'll let them continue to flow. Right then, I do want to just emphasize the fact that this is live. There have been a few jokes in the past in the chat box saying stop pretending this is live, which was great because it does give me the opportunity to emphasize that it is live and answer those questions. At the same time, obviously, I spend an awful lot of time preparing for these webinars, and quite often the stats on the thing shows whether people are giving me their undivided attention or not. And I appreciate you might have got a notepad or something like that loaded in front, which will affect that, but from my point of view it is live, and as a I suppose just from my point of view, will you just put a yes or no in the box to tell me that you're going to give this your undivided attention rather than just processing emails in the background or doing other stuff and just letting this be background noise? Thank you for that. Much appreciated. Yup. Right. Brilliant. Okay. Let me continue and get on with it. First of all, I just want to really emphasize what the problem is here. There is a problem and there is a great opportunity. In my experience talking to business owners, and I get involved in lots of events where there are lots of business owners, entrepreneurs out there, and of course I talk about how they get on with their accountant, what kind of value they get from it. And of course in my position, working with accountants for 20 years, very little, believe it or not, apart from the technology aspect, very little really has changed with the way that most accountants run their accounting practices. Many accountants out there, their business model is just focused on purely processing compliance accounts, getting them in, getting them processed, getting them out as quickly as they can. That's their business model. Now, fair enough, compliance accounts is a legal requirement and it just acts as a production line. However, from a personal point of view, I feel that the accountants that take on that type of business model aren't necessarily delivering the level of value that they could do to their clients. I strongly believe that accountancy is a noble profession, one that can make a profound difference to the clients that it works with. So for me, that kind of business model, it might work right now, but I think its effectiveness is going to reduce as people value compliance accounts less and less, and they already value them very little right now. But there's a great opportunity for accountants to do much more. This pyramid really shows that if you're focusing just on compliance, you can't charge high fees for that, and you therefore have to work with a high volume of customers in order to make that pay. Whereas if your focus is more in the added value, the business advisory type stuff, then actually you can work with fewer customers for higher fees. And not only that, I mentioned that sort of compliance only type of setup. Well, we know that artificial intelligence is becoming more and more prevalent in the type of software that we're getting access to. There are businesses now that are focusing their efforts more on the business owners out there and therefore bypassing the need for an accountant in many ways, or accountants are simply embracing this software themselves and delivering it as a service to their clients, but they can't charge as much for it as maybe they once could. You know, cash flow forecasts used to be a lot of effort in spreadsheets, things like that. 90%, maybe even more of that now, is done at the click of a button. So, you know, business owners know that, in fact, they think that you're clicking a button and doing much more than the reality. So, therefore, you can't charge those types of fees. Business advisor, for me, will never change. It's human to human, and that's the most valuable aspect. So, forward-thinking accountants, yes, they're dealing with the typical compliance work, payroll, bookkeeping, whether they're outsourcing that, many are now, so that frees up their time to deliver the added value business advisory type of services, or they're still delivering that as a core service, but bolted onto that, they're spending much more time with their clients and looking at how they can strengthen their sales and profits, and also how they can strengthen cash flow, both from a personal and a business point of view. So in this session, we're just going to look at one little aspect, really, about strengthening sales and profits. First of all, I'm going to just deal with this question on who should you approach and how. So, you will, in your client base, have a variety of different types of businesses. And what we always recommend to accountants is actually just go through and create an ideal client profile. If you want some more input on how you do that, let me know in the chat box and I'll send you something out on that. But also then, once you've done that, grade your existing clients against your ideal client profile. And then my recommendation is don't approach those D clients or even the C's or the B's. Your D clients especially, because they absolutely won't be receptive to this. Chances are they're D clients, they've negotiated to down on the price, they're probably very price sensitive, they don't really appreciate or respect you, and therefore they won't be open to this. Whereas your A clients, they're probably already paying you much more than those others. You probably enjoy working with them and they probably enjoy working with you much more. So your A clients are the ones to approach. Even if their businesses are doing much better, you know, maybe they're a £6 million business compared to a £250,000 business. But actually, tiny little increments like a 1% impact will have a bigger effect on those people, and therefore they'll be much more willing to pay. So it's easier and much more effective to start with your A clients. Okay, so I'm not seeing any questions in there yet, so I should continue. So that's who to approach. And then the how, really, and this is the six-stage process that I'm going to talk you through, is going to enable you, A, to demonstrate the value and in such a way that your clients want to buy from you. Now, there are some caveats before I talk through this. So one of those caveats is, and don't be offended by this next screen, is don't go through this robot fashion. So I'm going to give you some recommended questions to ask as suggestions. But one mistake lots of people make is that they'll ask a question and then they'll write down the answer and then they'll go to the next question. Don't do that robot fashion, because people will know that you're just going through a process with them and that you're not necessarily taking that genuine interest. So of course the advice is, take a genuine interest, really probe people, really seek to understand. You're in business yourself, so the challenges that they're mentioning, chances are you've been through them. So, you know, you can relate to that and you can understand how they're feeling. Don't wait till they've finished talking and then say, yes, I've been there myself and this will happen to me, etc. Just listen with the intent to understand, first of all, and you can do that, yes, I've been there myself and I know how that feels, at the appropriate time. Okay, and the purpose of going through this process isn't just with the mindset of I want to sell to this person. Really, it's about understanding where they're at. And maybe I don't like the word selling anyway, to be honest with you. I think if you've demonstrated the value that you could potentially bring to someone, they will want to buy from you or they won't. And my recommendation is always go down that route. Just demonstrate the value. Don't try and be a salesperson, because let's face it, I don't think any of us are. You know, you trained to be accountants. I didn't train to be a salesperson myself. And I think people are just off-put by that anyway. So the purpose isn't to sell. It's to demonstrate what you could do for somebody. And if they're interested, then they will want to buy from you. This is not a theory, this works. I've used this process myself for quite some time and, you know, very effectively as well. So I use it when I'm talking with accountants, but I use it when I'm talking to business owners, when I'm delivering coaching sessions that are independent of AVN as well with businesses. So this does work. But as I say, the framework itself that I'm going to talk you through is incredibly important. So let me get to the point. So six steps. The first step really is just to engage with them and get their consent to ask them some thought-provoking questions about them. So I mean, just a couple, and these are just off-the-cuff types of questions. You know, ultimately use your judgment on how you approach your clients in that. So, you know, do you mind if I ask you a few questions about some of the aspects of your business? Or even, obviously, as your accountant, I see many numbers, but there are some numbers I don't see. Would you be willing to give me the good, the bad, and the ugly? So the point here is that you're setting the scene that you're going to be asking them some questions. So in other words, you're establishing control here. You're going to be asking some questions to them. But you're also getting consent here. And that's what's important. You know, do you mind if I ask you some questions? Would you give me the good, the bad, and the ugly? In other words, you're just setting the scene that be open and honest with you about certain aspects of the business. So getting consent is absolutely important here. The next one then is just find out what their aspirations are about the future of their business. So it might be that you, as a starting point, given that you are their accountant, maybe you're sat in a year-end meeting, you've gone through some of the details in their compliance accounts, and then, and again, this is just a suggested wording, you know, just looking at your current sales and profits figures, can I ask you a question? Tell me, if you could wave a magic wand, what would those figures look like in, say, 2023 years' time? And then they'll give you a number. Why is that important to you? So what's important here is that we're not just looking for the facts and, you know, the figures, the ideal figures. We're finding out why those figures are important, because that's, you know, people buy based on emotion, don't they? So we're tapping into that side here. Why is that important to you? How will that personally benefit you? And then you can go on to say, what are the other numbers that are important to you? So you might talk about sales and profits and those types of things, maybe how many employees they might get in this future business. But then let's bring this back more personal as well. How many hours, you know, would you like to be working in that business? Holidays, you know, most people, even if they get to take a holiday, they're usually on the phone taking texts, taking emails and phone calls and things like that. So just tapping into those types of questions. And again, for everything that they talk about, why is that important? How will you benefit from that? What will it feel like? How would you celebrate if you were to achieve that? So again, you're really getting to think about that ideal business. So you might end up with a sheet of paper. Again, this is very limited just for the benefit of just showing you this, but you might have a sheet of paper that just is right, sales figures, how much they take, you know, number of employees, how many hours, etc. You might write a few notes down there, you know, that they want to leave the business to the kids, they want to retire in the next 10 years, and hopefully by establishing that, you know, the less hours, it might improve their marriage or their relationships, those types of things. Now, again, I'm sure you'd put much more detail than that down, but this is kind of your future sheet of paper, really, the things that are important to that client. So the next stage from that really is what's the current situation look like, the now, the present. And again, go through a series of, I mean, obviously you'll know the sales and profits figures, but find out from them the other things that are important to them. So how many hours a week are they working right now? How many holidays are they getting to take? Are those uninterrupted holidays? How much is that business currently reliant on them right now? And so, again, a few more notes that you might write down on there. So at the moment, they might say they're barely seeing the kids because they're working so hard. They can't see retirement even happening right now. Their wife's giving them, or their husband's giving them a really hard time right now because they're not there. And even if they are at home, they're not mentally there. They're focused on their business. Okay, so go through process. Yeah, thank you for that. You've told me that you're working a lot of hours, putting strain, you know. What are the consequences if nothing changes in the next 12 months? And they might say, well, chances are, you know, I might be, you know, out on a heel. The marriage might break up, or my kids are just about to, they're on the verge of going into the teens. I know that at that point, they probably don't want anything to do with me. So really, I could do is spend as much time as possible with them before they choose not to want to know me anymore. Those types of things might come out in that conversation. So again, how would that make you feel? Really getting, just bringing home the fact that if they continue doing things in the way that they always have done, nothing's going to get better, and just really getting them to think about that. Okay, so the next stage from that then is that you've got to close the gap. So we've identified that what they really want out of their business and what they're currently getting right now, there is a gap between those things. So what I'm going to do now is just take you through a process that really opens people's eyes to the possibilities. So as an accountant, what you might do for them is just say, well, you know, where you are now is based on the, you know, the actions that you've taken over the past few years, you know, the decisions that you've made, etc. So the business might have grown gradually over that period of time, and projecting that forward, maybe there's a possibility that it will continue in the same trend. Now, we all know that the environment's changing, technology's changing, there's competition springing up all over the place, cheaper competition, etc. So maybe this is an optimistic projection, but nevertheless, you can put a projection going forward and say, well, as things stand, maybe this is what the future will look like. Now, let's take a look at the sales figure and see what we can do about that. So if we take sales and look at that in isolation, that's just often one figure, and it's usually the turnover figure, isn't it? But actually, sales in itself can be broken down into seven key drivers, and that's what we're going to look at during this session. So let's take a look at each one of those independently, and what I'm going to do is share with you just an example strategy that you can have a conversation with a client about on how they could improve that one element, and then we'll look at what improving that one little element, even if it's 1 or 2%, what impact that can have on the bottom line, on the sales figures, on the business potential. So the first one, well, first of all, you need to ascertain where people are right now. What's their pricing like? What's their conversion rates like? Things like that. Now, most times the business owners will know them themselves. You know, if they're speaking to three people, And they convert one, then great, they've got a, you know, a 33% conversion rate. Okay, so the first one we'll look at is pricing. Most people feel that their pricing is set by the competition. You know, if I charge more, then they'll just go with the other person. Now, one reason for that is because most businesses, and, you know, I'm talking about accountants right now, for as an example, they really represent themselves in almost exactly the same way as their competition. So every time I see accountants' websites, they might look, they may look flashy, they may have different colours and images, but ultimately they all say the same thing. We do accounts, we do bookkeeping, we do payroll, we do audits, we do business advisory, we're forward thinking, we're proactive. All of those typical words, everybody uses them. And so, you know, accountants in this situation, and it doesn't matter what your business owner's website looks like, chances are they're representing themselves in the same way as their competition. When you do that, the only way a customer can decide who to go with is the price, because they're all representing the same stuff. And it's like going for an MOT, see three different garages that do MOTs. One says £45, one says £35, one says £25. In your head, they're all going to do the same thing, so you might as well pay the £25 fee. That's when they're all offering the same thing. If you can differentiate yourself sufficiently, yes, you're going to have a core offering in common, but if you can differentiate yourself and you can help your customers differentiate themselves through their purpose, their values, and various different different ways that they promote themselves, then actually what they'll start to do then is be seen as different. Yes, there'll be the core offering overlap, but they'll be seen as different. And if their values and their needs match that of their customers' needs, then they're going to be much more likely to go to them, even if they're going to pay more. So by differentiating themselves, they're in a stronger position to be able to value price their services rather than competition price their services. So I'll share with you some more strategies on that very shortly, or show you where to get hold of some. So that's pricing. Now, if we were just to increase our pricing just by a few percent, then what impact would that have on the business going forward? Well, of course, it's going to have an impact that's over and above what the current trend of that business is going to look like, isn't it? So things like, you know, having unique selling propositions mapped out so that customers can see how they're different from their competition, improving on their pitching, packaging their services, those types of things are going to help them value price and differentiate from the competition. So the next one on here is the number of customers. So if you imagine our business, maybe they work typically with 100 customers, maybe that's 100 customers a year. Depending on the business, it might be 100 customers a month, or 100 customers a day, 100 customers a week. Whatever that is, this is just an arbitrary example. So what if, I mean, most people want to work with more customers because that's going to help them increase the business, of course, isn't it? So what if they were to implement a absolutely free strategy that I know works because I've seen it work in countless different types of businesses? And that strategy is simply to ask all of your customers for referrals. Now, most businesses wait for a customer to give them a referral instead of actually proactively asking for them. So just the mere act of just asking their customers for a referral at the time that they've completed the job, at the time that their customer is really happy with them, then let's say that they ask 100 of their customers for a referral and 50 of them give them a referral. And then let's say, because these are very warm introductions, 50% of those are converted, then actually what that business has done there is that they've ultimately increased their customer base by a total of 25% just by asking their existing customers for referrals. So that's just one strategy that can be applied to increasing the number of customers a business works with. And of course, those customers will have been taken on at the higher price, which is going to have a compounded impact on the business potential, isn't it? So if we can increase the number of customers, that's going to have an impact on the business potential going forward. So the next one's the conversion rate. Now, I mentioned the 50% conversion rate a moment ago. That's because they were warm referrals. Let's say, you know, a business typically gets a number of inquiries coming in a week or a month. They could be phone-based, they could be internet-based. It doesn't matter how they are. This is representing an inquiry. Let's say in a typical month, a business gets, say, 100 inquiries. That could be 100 a year, a day, a week, whatever. Whatever their current number of inquiries coming in are. Now, let's say currently their conversion rate, just for the sake of this diagram, is 25%. So in other words, one in four people, what we can see is that really we might convert one, but as a result, we're losing out on three. That's a missed opportunity, isn't it? So that current conversion rate is going to generate us a number of new customers, you know, every time we talk through them. So whatever this period is that we're referring to, they'll get X number of customers. In this case, it'll be 25 based on that 25%. So what if you could have a conversation with your clients about a strategy that will help them just improve that conversion rate, maybe just a little bit, just a few percent, so that they're taking on more customers for every conversation. So a great strategy, tried and tested strategy, is just to reduce the risk, because actually, there's a lot of fear and concern over moving suppliers, isn't there? You know, if you're currently working with someone, you've kind of got a level of trust in them. Moving to somebody else could be a big risk. So the strategy is reduce the risk. Two examples here. One is to offer a guarantee. You know, if you're not happy, we'll give you 100% of your money back. Or if you're not happy, we'll do this. If you're not happy, we'll do that. That's showing the level of confidence that you've got. And I'm referring you as in the business owner that you're working with, in what you do. Now, there's sometimes this fear around guarantees. Well, they'll just ask for the money back regardless. So you can put caveats in place, conditions and terms if you like. I mean, at AVM, we just say no questions asked. You can have your money back if you don't feel that you've had value. We find that very few people do that. In fact, I don't think anyone has. But we're working with accountants who are ethical by nature, you know, and they've got the morals and things like that. So it depends on the business, doesn't it? But you can also offer a trial, whether that's a free trial, whether it's a discounted trial, and it gives people the opportunity to experience those services. So these are just two examples, really, on reducing the risk. So let's say, and again, for the benefit of my diagram here, that they move from a 1 in 4 conversion rate to a 1 in 3. Then actually what's happening is that they're losing less of those inquiries each time, which means that ultimately, yes, they'll get the same level of customers that they were before, plus an extra batch on top of that. So that's just increasing. Hopefully I'm making sense so far. I'm not going too fast. So increasing the conversion rate, again, that's going to have an impact on the business potential going forward. So the business owner can start to see that actually just these tiny little strategies is going to start to really ramp up my business going forward. And they're very simple little strategies to put in place, aren't they? So the next driver is how long your customers stay with you. So we know that it's more difficult to get a new customer than it is to get an existing customer to stay with you for longer, to keep buying from you. So let's say that the average lifetime of a customer is X for a business before they may change suppliers or whatever it might be. If you could extend that stay just a little bit longer, whether it's 25% longer or whatever it might be, then again, you're going to continue to receive that income. You're not wasting more effort on trying to get new and replacement customers. So one strategy here is just to massively improve the customer service that they get. And again, an example of that is just to really start surveying your customers, asking them for feedback, and welcome the negative stuff, because the negative is great opportunities for, you know, the business owner to improve the delivery that they're doing. And if it's positive, of course, then that can double up as testimonials as well. So act on the feedback, show that you care about their feedback and you care about keeping those customers, and they will stay longer. Their loyalty will increase as a result. Showing the business potential impact for that business is going to increase that. And again, just tiny little increments in terms of percentages here is all that matters. How much they spend in any one visit. So I'm going to share with you a strategy that we're all very much familiar, well, I'm making an assumption we're all very much familiar with this particular concept. And that is a concept that McDonald's use, a strategy that McDonald's use called basically asking the right questions. If you go into McDonald's and ask for a burger, they will automatically ask you, would you like fries with that? Wouldn't they? You don't think, oh God, they just sell, 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 upselling all the time. They're just asking you a question. Would you like fries with that? Chances are somebody might say, yeah, go on then, why not? If they do that, if they say, can I have a burger with fries, McDonald's will automatically say, would you like to upgrade that to a meal and get a drink? It works out cheaper. Obviously, you're still spending more. And they might say, oh yeah, go on then, I fancy a drink with that. If you ask for a meal, they'll ask, would you like to go large? If you ask for a large meal, then they will ask if you'd like a side with that. They've always got another question. That is just a strategy. It doesn't come across as selling. They've always got a question to ask you. And if as soon as you say no, that's fine. It's not a problem. But by doing that, applying that simple little strategy, McDonald's increased the average spend per customer by 88%. That's a massive improvement, isn't it? So what, you know, if you're the businesses that you work with, what are the extra questions that they could just ask out of curiosity that people may not have just thought about that would increase the average spend per customer? Apply that then, and we don't even have to go to the 88%. Let's just say it's a 5% or something like that increase, then that's going to increase the business potential going forward. Next, of course, is the frequency that they buy from you. So they may stay with you, but maybe... and I often use a hairdresser's thing here. Maybe on average, someone might visit their preferred hairdresser every 2 months. What if a hairdresser implemented a strategy where they came back every 6 weeks? So they're going to increase the number of spends. And I'm guessing off the top of my head that that's going to be by about 33%. So little strategies like that that get people to come back more often. And you know, one that we're all very familiar with as well is these loyalty cards. So McDonald's use them, my local valeters use them, various people use loyalty type things. So what are the equivalents? You know, a hairdresser might just rather than wait for the client to say to phone them up and try and book their next appointment, and they may wait 6 weeks, see that the hair's a mess, phone in to try and book an appointment, and maybe it's a 2 week waiting. So if the hairdresser just said, shall we just book you in for 6 weeks now, then actually the hairdresser's in control and they're booked in. So that's another example really of just increasing the frequency that people come back to you. So again, apply that to the business potential. We can see it ramping up again. And the final one really is, really it's about just putting the systems in place. People often do these when they remember, these little strategies. Having the systems in place means that you're not reliant on memory. You're doing this stuff every single time, and it allows the business owner then to delegate that to somebody that they employ to do this every single time as well. So putting systems in place ensures that this stuff happens every single time, and it allows the business owner to step back and focus on a different part of their business and improve that as well. So that's that. Now, I've talked through really a presentation that just, you know, gets the point across on how you can improve the business potential. We have a piece of software called SSTW, which stands for Simple Stuff That Works, that accountants can use to really show and quantify the benefits for real, if you like, with a customer. So I'm just going to stop my presentation for a moment and pull that up. So let me just go back to the home page. I've obviously had a little play. So this is called Simple Stuff That Works, and it allows an accountant to register any of their clients that are going through this. It shows them the progress that they've gone through so far. This is something that they could deliver in a very quick session to give a snapshot, but they can also use this as a regular monthly get-together discussing different strategies on those different drivers, coming away with action points, maybe just around one or two of the strategies, etc. Because actually the power is in the discussion on how, say, asking the right questions might apply to your business. So hopefully you can see this. What I'm just going to do is, here's one I made earlier type of thing. So if I just pop into the Shane's Equestrian Centre, I'm not sure where that one came from. So if I go into here, let me just go into the very beginning here. I've just populated this with a few basic figures. So let's say the sales is 600,000, the cost of sales is 400,000. Gross profit 200, etc. Overheads 50, owners income is 50. Okay, so sales conversion rate is 25%, and loss rate, so that's that how long a customer stays with you for, that's kind of a defection rate of 20%. So this is something that an accountant can go through with their clients, and what it enables them to do, they're the different strategies, those drives across the top. It's also something that they can let their clients go through themselves. I don't recommend that, but some people prefer to do that, let their clients go through it themselves and then work together with them going forward. So that's an option that's built into this. It goes through lots of examples, and the accountant can learn these examples and convey them, or they can take the shortcut option and play an example.
Changing from cost pricing to value pricing.
One of us, so we've created these.
The price of your product and service is just a number.
And that just gives lots of examples on the different strategies that have been applied in real businesses as well. The strategies themselves, there are lots of strategies that can then be talked through, discussed in detail. And then what you get to do then is go through these for real. So let me just reset some of these numbers. Oops. Set that to zero. Now, if just one example on here, and I'm conscious of time, so I'm not going to spend too long on here, but let's say you're having a conversation with a client, and most people sort of feel that, well, you know, if I want to grow my business, I probably need to discount my price a little bit to get more customers in, and then maybe I can put the prices up in due course. So a great question would be, okay, so let's say we're going to reduce the prices here then. How much would you reduce the prices by? And they might say, well, let's say I just put a 5% discount on. And then you could say, well, how many more customers do you think you get as a result of applying a 5% discount? And they might say, well, maybe it'll ramp up. Maybe I'll get 10% more customers. So if we increment that to 10%, what we can actually see then is if you increase your customer base by 10% because of the 5% discount, you're actually still worse off from a profit point of view, and you're working harder because you're working with more customers. So let's just flip that. Let's just go back to some zeros here. I think there is a button to reset that automatically. What if we did that differently? What if we increase the prices? What if you increase the prices by, say, 1%? How many customers do you think you'd lose if you increase your price by 1%? Well, chances are they'd probably say, well, I can't imagine anyone going at 1%. Okay, so 1%, we can see that that really goes straight to your bottom line. You've not done anything else. You've just increased your price by 1%. That's effectively just earned you a Disneyland holiday, hasn't it? How many do you think you'd lose at 2%? Probably still not really. Okay, so that's £12,000. What if it was 3%? You think you start losing customers then? Well, maybe. So let's have a look. How many customers do you think you'd lose? Well, I might lose a few. So we can see how many customers that they might lose. Let's say it's 5% on a 3% increase. They're still better off, but they're working less hard because they're not working with as many customers. And what tends to happen is that people start to think, they start to take control of the mouse here and start to think, well, actually, if I can increase my prices by 10%, I could afford to lose quite a lot of customers here. So therefore, I'll be working less hard. That's saved a day a week there for a 10% increase. And then you can start to say, well, actually, look, what we can do is share some strategies with you so that you don't lose customers, but you still get to increase your prices. So hopefully that makes sense. And the same then applies. So we've got that little increment there. We can do the same with the more customers. Again, there are examples, there are strategies, and then you can go through the numbers. And of course, by discussing the strategies, people start to see the opportunities where actually I can increase this without fear of putting people off. So again, just some tiny little notice. I've got 3% here, tiny little increments. So this is the current defection rate, and what I'm saying is currently it's 20%. Let's make it conversion rate. Let's say it's 30%, things like that. So just going through defection rate then, rather than it being the current 20%. Let's improve that by 30%, making the defection rate 14%. Spending more. Again, we can go through and just put some tiny little things in here. And then what we can do is jump to the synergistic impact. So all of those in isolation, we can see an increment, but what's the combination of those? And bear in mind that they all kind of build on each other. So if you put the prices up and you're getting more customers and you're getting them to spend longer, there's going to be a synergistic impact of those results, isn't there? So just that one example there, just with some small increments, has put £48,000 straight onto their bottom line. On the finalization screen, you can say that, well, actually, that's, you know, over a five-year period, that's added £250,000 pretty much onto your bottom line. That's, you know, that's take-home for you, if you like, or you can invest that into your business. How does that sound to you? And of course, they're going to say, well, that would be fantastic. So they're seeing the possibilities on how they can achieve those numbers that were really important to them. So I've just reloaded my slides. There we go. Okay. Is that making sense? Is that something that you'd be interested in learning more about, that software and those strategies? Give me a yes or no in the chat box right now. Is this really interesting to you? Our AVM Masterclass, we talk about that and much more. We show you exactly how you can deliver these types of consulting packages to your clients. So the ticket price for Masterclass is £197. It's 3 days and it's at our office in Barbara, which is just off junction 30 of the M1. It's delivered by myself, Steve Pipe, Emma Slyke, Andrea Higginbottom, and Andrew Miller, all of whom I class as practice growth experts. They've got lots of, obviously I'm speaking for myself here, lots of experience in helping accountants improve their practice, lots of experience in delivering business advisory services to business owners as well. We've got some people attend that give their real life in-person case studies as well. People can ask questions of them. Features, it's 21 hours of CPD. We obviously give a certificate. We talk about the future of the profession, the threats currently facing the profession. You get lunch, dinner, tea, coffee, lots of beers as well, or soft drinks if you prefer that. Things that we talk about, value pricing, demonstrating value to your clients, increasing your value perception so that you can charge even better fees than you might currently do. How to get better quality clients, low-level and high-level added value services that you can start to increment and augment to your existing clients. We'll give you a blueprint on what excellence looks like in a practice and a set of standards, all the stuff to take away that you can use as an action plan to start building your practice up. How to have really meaningful conversations with clients, how to deliver advisory, develop a great team of people. And there are tools like the simple stuff that works I've just talked about and many more that you can use to complement the services that you deliver. And we give you a comprehensive workbook that you can take away that's got lots of the notes already stored in there, lots of strategies, lots of ideas that you can take away as a result of going through there. And your notes will be in there as well. So ultimately, we take you through our roadmap on, you know, getting much more clarity and a plan for how you're going to create your practice. Lots of quick wins in there as well, little simple strategies that will have a massive boost and impact on your practice. How to differentiate yourself so that you're attracting better quality clients, delivering better services to your clients, starting to scale up by getting your team on board in delivering much more of this and being much more customer focused, getting the systems in place in your practice so it's scalable and less reliant on you so you can take the relaxing holidays. Building your profile so those love to get but hard to get clients are starting to approach you, and then being much more purposeful. And we go into some of our high-end consulting and coaching methodologies in that, amongst other things. So some of the outcomes are, you know, some of the testimonials. The quick wins usually from Masterclass are people are better pricing their services, so therefore they're much more profitable. They're an increase in conversion rates because we show people exactly how to pitch for their services with clients in such a way that their clients are looking for and adding on some of those extra services themselves. Phil Tarbon gave us a fantastic testimonial at the end of the last Masterclass that took place in October. And he says he didn't expect just how much we'd be taking an interest in his practices. He's worked with lots of coaches in the past, things like that. But actually, the impact that he found from Masterclass was that we really cared about his practice. Video testimonials on our YouTube channel. There are loads and loads and loads of video testimonials. A couple that I'd captured in October, these two had actually travelled all the way from the Americas. So this was Peter Still. He travelled from Canada to us, 3,500 miles. This was Rennie. She travelled 4,000 miles from Chicago. I'm not going to play all of this, but I captured a very brief testimonial from.
So the ultimate question was it worth traveling 4,000 miles to be here at this masterclass?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm thrilled to be here. This workshop has been profoundly impactful, probably the most impactful professional development workshop that I've ever attended, including my master's degree.
Okay, so I'll not play all of that because that's a minute long, but ultimately she said it was more powerful than her master's degree, which is great. Just to answer your question, Rob, yes, and much, much more. I've got some other questions in there which I will come to very shortly. Another very quick one from Val Wishart here. Val's, as you can see from that slide, based in Edinburgh. But I was talking to her the other day, and she gave me a great testimonial about AVN, the masterclass in general. I just wanted to play a little bit of that as well.
Of course, I would absolutely recommend AVN to other people. It changed my life, it's changed my practice, it's changed the life of my team, it's helped me spend more time doing the things that I want to do, it's helped me to get my life plan together, it's helped me be more profitable, I'm making more money out of the business, my team are all learning really well, so everybody's gained from it. And it's just made us all much happier to do what we're doing. So I would definitely recommend it to anybody that's thinking of it.
That was fantastic from Val. I've also noticed, thank you, Jason, really appreciate what you've just put in that box as well. So yeah, you didn't sign up, and we don't expect everybody to sign up for Masterclass, but we do deliver as much as we can, outstanding value that you can take away from Masterclass and hopefully make those changes. So thank you very much for that, Jason, in that box. Much appreciated. Peter, I'll come on to yours very, very shortly. Now, quite often people have concerns about Masterclass. Is it going to be one big pitch over the 3 days? Well, Jason, you tell me, but in my view, I think I spend about 10 to 15 minutes on day one just showing the possibilities of if we work together in a membership format going forward, then this is the way that we would help you go forward. I like to get that out of the way on day one so that we can enjoy the rest of 2 days together without worrying that there's a pitch coming and things like that. Can you justify 3 days out of your office? Well, that's obviously a question for you, but you know, I put it to you, if you carry on doing what you've always done and carry on running your practice the way that you always have, do you really want to still be running it in the same way in the next few months, in 12 months, in 5 years' time? Is it worth taking 3 days out of your office? And just like with Jason, you know, he came away with a fresh way of looking at his practice, and he's already made lots of great changes to that. And I'm elated that Jason's said that. So thank you very much for that. Will you need membership to make this stuff happen? Again, we will help you make this stuff happen. We feel that we can help you accelerate making that happen as well. So I've got no doubt that you will come away and you'll make changes to your practice. What we're here to do is help you accelerate that so you see results much faster than you might do if you did that alone, but ultimately that's your decision. Any other questions about Masterclass? Hang on, there's some more stuff in the chat box. No pitch, advice, support and ideas. Again, thank you very much, Jason, appreciate that. You're coming next week. Yeah, I mean, Joanne, obviously next week's Masterclass, we did completely fill that up, which is why we're now looking at the July one. But yeah, really looking forward to seeing you next week, Joanne. Okay, to qualify, you have to be a partner. You have to be independent and not part of the top 20. The other thing in there, and I think this is you've asked this question, Peter, what we tend to find is that people get the best results if they are fairly established. Now, we have had some brand new startups join us in the past. Some have made it happen because they've really had the and this is down to an individual. Someone made it out because they've had the drive and the willpower to make it happen. But if you're already established, you've already got a client base, then there are lots of quick wins that you can get from the client base. Okay, so I'm just being open and honest with you. That's really where that comes from. I've got a question mark from you, Nadim. So have I. Oh, sorry. Are there any spaces for next week? If you can make next week, we have had one of our existing members decide to move to the following masterclass, and he was going to bring a team of 3 people along. So if you can make it, put a yes in the box. I'll get somebody to give you a ring, Nadine. Okay, if you book today, normally it's 197. You can save £100 on that with a ticket price of just £97. And in addition, I will give you a copy, a digital copy of this book, which really contains everything I've just talked about with some strategies, and that will really complement what we just talked about as well. Just by booking on the masterclass, you'll get that immediately. What I'm going to do now then is move back onto the rest of the presentation. Okay, so we've talked about closing the gap, and really what you're doing by closing the gap is showing that person the possibilities. And it might be that you explore lots of things, you might share, like the McDonald's analogy, and you might have a conversation about, you know, what impact, if you were to come up with some strategies yourself, what impact would that have? And they'll say, well, actually, if I were asking the right questions and I was able to bolt extra stuff on, they'll show those increments. Your role at this point is really just to write those actions down. And just like a doctor will give you a prescription, you know, I'm ill, here, do this, and things will get better. You're effectively doing the same thing. You're creating an action plan for them. So the action might be to create some powerful questions that will help you augment the typical purchase that people go through. It might be that you talk about putting guarantees in place. You might talk about, you know, and these are your recommended actions going forward. And you can present that to them for them. Now, the sixth step really is the opportunity that you can present to them. Now, I've put this in red for a moment and I'll explain why. If someone wants to take their business in a way that you genuinely feel that you can help them with, then obviously you're not going to present a recommendation that they go with you for the sessions. And there are occasions when this has happened to me. You know, I've talked to an accountant, they want to take their practice in a direction that I don't believe I could do justice with helping them. In which case, I will give them a recommendation. I will say, well, look, actually, that's not something that we would help you with, but I do know somebody who could help you with that. Or I might point them in the right direction. Or if I feel that someone's maybe not ready for us yet, maybe they're not generating enough income, or they're just getting established, then I will give them just for free, if you like, some recommendations that they could maybe do, and then I'll touch base with them in a few months or whatever. Ultimately, you have then the opportunity to present to them. So if you do think that you are right for each other, then the question could be, you know, would you like some help making that happen? And then I recommend that you go through a top-down process. Now, these are some of the packages that AVM members would offer. So a Making It Happen program, this is really quite intensive. You're helping them maybe create some of the systems, things like that, or someone in your team are. So this is a 1 year package of 30,000. Some charge much more than that. That's kind of an average. A Business Edge, which is a little bit less intensive. You're not helping them create the systems. You're just doing one-to-one strategy sessions with them. They're coming away with the actions and the ideas that they will implement. And then you've got the monthly, as another option, maybe just monthly telephone or Zoom type meetings. They might be an hour where, again, you're just going through a strategy. You're asking them some questions, getting to think about these things. So you've got some ongoing monthly sessions here that you can talk through. The reason you do it on top-down pricing is because people, you know, if you do it the other way around, people might have been sold straight away on the first thing, and then the others look more expensive. If they've been sold on the first thing and then those look more attractive in that sense, then it might be that they go for the top one or they go for the middle one. If you sell the bottom one first, then chances are that's where they'll stay. Spread the fee out. So, you know, that is a £30,000 package, but ultimately you could refer to it as a monthly investment of £2,500. What you'll have to do, of course, is reduce the risk. Now, we've already talked about a couple of ways that you can do that. You can offer a guarantee, and I always recommend, you know, put it to your clients that if they have a session with you, ask them at the end of the session, was that a valuable use of your time? Was that value for money in terms of the ideas and recommendations that you come away from this session with? If they say yes, then that's your monthly investment sorted. If they say no, I don't think it was valuable, then obviously you need to do something about that, whether it is money back or whether you just ask them the question, what can we do to make that more valuable? you are not responsible for the action that they actually go and take. You can't control that. That's out of your hands. Was the session itself of value? Have they come up with the ideas? That's the question that you should be asking, and that's what you should guarantee. Obviously, you might do a trial as well, and so you've got different options. So then you can ask the question, you know, compared to that, we saw £46,000, I think it was, on Simple Stuff That Works. Would those results be worth that investment? So £46,000 in a year, $250,000 over 5 years, for the sake of investing £30,000, £2,500 a month in you, it's going to be, you know, you've got that anchoring, haven't you, that contrast principle. It's going to be a no-brainer. So, I mentioned to you, that's the process I've run through. I think I've got about 15 seconds to go before I'm then over. So I told you that you can get a copy of this strategy here. I'll send you that one out, how to get your first consulting project, and it gives you some stuff to run through with your existing clients to help you. Just give us a yes in the box if that's of appeal to you, and I'll make sure you do get that. Okay, cool. And finally, and I know many of you have done this, there's a practice diagnostic process that you can go through for free. I will send you a link to complete that, and that gives you some a report with some strategies that you can implement in your own accountancy practice. It'll show you how you fare in different areas compared to some of the other practices out there as well. So hopefully you'll complete that as soon as you receive this email. Any questions? So let me just have a quick flick through to see if I've missed any questions coming in. I think I have addressed, I've just joined the webinar, is a recording. Dora, it is recorded. I will send a link out to that. You're welcome, Joanne. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining me. I appreciate it's the 60 minutes up. Just have a quick flick through. I'll tell you what, just type in the chat box if you've asked a question and I've missed it, and then what I can do is I can have a look through for your name. Okay. Can we buy your books? Yes, if you look for that book online on Amazon, then yes, you can, of course, get that, Colin. No problem at all. In fact, I can put a link out to the Amazon thing anyway. Thanks for the session, Pete. Thank you for saying that, Pete. Much appreciated. Right, okay, well, it doesn't look like there are any more questions coming in, so thank you very much, everybody, for your time. Hope you've had a valuable use of your time, so spot on.